am very excited to be here with you. As you all know, I am a wife of Benjamin Robinson, mother of Alethea Sarang Robinson, but they're upstairs because Alethea is very tired. So keep her in your prayers. I'm so excited. I do have a word for you. Can we pray? Yeah? Father, we thank you so much for your presence among us, Lord. God, I thank you that you have a powerful word to set your sons and daughters free tonight. Father, by the authority you've given us in the precious name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of disappointments, Lord. And I thank you tonight that you will once and for all break off disappointment. That's keeping your sons and daughters from tapping into the glorious riches of our Father, of our God, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Glorious riches. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about three kinds of riches of God. As we all know, right? Ephesians 3:16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. Glorious riches. This is when you tap into the glorious riches of God, this is where you get strengthened. Yeah? Strengthened with power in your inner being. If you look at Ephesians 1:7, it talks about the riches of God, okay? Riches of God's grace, actually, okay? Here, if you tap into the riches of God's grace, this is where you receive the power of forgiveness, where you tap into the power of redemption. Anybody need some redemption in your life? You got to tap into the riches of God's grace. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, it talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance. Okay? Here, you are able to tap into the great power. Okay? If you need resurrection power of Jesus Christ, if you need to tap into the power to rule, reign, authority, this is where you need to tap into. When you learn to tap into the riches, glorious riches of God, this is where you are able to live a victorious life. Where you not only know, but feel and walk in the strength of God. When you are able to tap into the glorious riches of God, one of the benefits is that you are able to eat the fruit of each season in your life, okay? Every season, you work, you sow, you reap. Every season, there's a fruit that you're supposed to not only bear, but eat of. But you know what I've seen with my eyes? Is that so many sons and daughters of God, they work hard. They work hard to believe and work and serve, and they bear much fruit. But not all of them taste and eat of that fruit. You know, last night, what did Benjamin say? There's a difference between seeing the fruit, seeing the fruit and eating the lentil soup, right? And I just sense, New Philly, your season right now, you have entered into a season where you are supposed to eat of the fruit of your labor. You ready to eat? You ready to eat? You know, as a mother, I don't want my daughter to just serve. You know, oh, I'm a good servant. I'm going to help do the dishes. I'm going to help mommy make food. But then she's so busy helping and serving that she goes to bed hungry and she didn't eat dinner. I wouldn't be proud. I'd be mad. I'd be like, what? You didn't eat any dinner? Why? Because I was busy serving. What? Serving is not the point. As sons and daughters of God, it's just outcome. That's not the point. You're supposed to eat. You're supposed to eat and enjoy the food. Hmm? And that's the Father's heart. Amen? You know, for me personally, I'm just coming out of the one of the hardest season of my life. You know, I was talking to Grace, I think, during lunchtime. And she's like, Pastor Sonia, I still remember the last sermon you preached at New Philly. I guess like, I don't know, 2011 or something like that. And you preached about the grace of God. And I was like, oh, wow. You know what's interesting is that when I preached that sermon a few years ago, I just came out of a season and God broke me into a new level, right? And I preached about that the old grace has ran out and that there's new grace that is available for you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did preach about grace, huh? Because tonight I want to preach about grace also. Why? Because without grace, you are not able to tap into the glorious riches of our God. Hmm? You know, in 2014, I began to experience my grace lifting. Okay? I started to feel ashamed. If you know me, I don't compare myself with others because I'm me, right? And I'm proud to be me, right? However, in 2014, I was acting like somebody that I wasn't. I started to feel ashamed, right? And I, you know, Benjamin and I, we have a lot of good relationships with other pastors, and we would have lunches and breakfast with them. And usually, I mean, I could sit down with pastors with like 2,000-3,000 members, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know what happened at, you know, our last mission trip? God raised, I mean, the dead, and you know, I'll be proud of who we are. We're small, but we're powerful. Have you seen the fruits in your ministry? Look at all these fruit. I would be so proud, you know, of who we are. Small, but powerful. But in 2014, I wasn't feeling all that great. I was, when the pastors talked about the numbers, I was like, we're still same size that we were 250 10 years ago. And we're still 250. Yeah. And I started to feel ashamed. And I'm thinking, what's wrong? Sonny, what's wrong? That's not you. What's wrong? And then I realized, aha. Aha. I remember this. Because for 8 years, as you all know, when I couldn't conceive, I was fine. No baby. Guess what? I get to travel the world and preach the gospel. Every month, I would try. My husband and I would try. And when I didn't conceive, I'm like, oh, I get to travel then, right? But however, 8th year of our marriage, all of a sudden that grace lifted and I was ashamed. Even when other people that I didn't even know, right? Like next door talked about kids and having babies, I would just sense shame covering my whole face, you know? And I was afraid when people would ask, do you have any kids? I'm like, please don't let them ask me that question. Please, please. And if they did, I'd be like, oh, no. And I remember thinking, God, why am I ashamed? Why am I ashamed? And God, that's when God spoke to me, Sonny, because for 8 years, you had grace to be barren. But you see, I just released you to another level, to another season. And in order for me to push you into that new level, I needed to lift that old grace to be okay being barren. Because if that grace remained, even when God had this opened the door for the new level, I would just stay here because I'm satisfied. And once he lifted that grace for about a month or two, everywhere I wanted to just hide. Please don't let anybody ask me if I have kids. But then within 2 months, I got pregnant. I got pregnant. And so last year, I remember this. Something, I got this. I know what it feels like when the old grace lives. That means God has a new grace for me for this new season. And what God spoke to me was that, Sonny, I'm breaking you out of smallness. You see, I gave you grace to be small and powerful, and you were proud. But you see, I'm lifting that off of you because I'm breaking you out. And so I was like, I was ready for this, you know? I was ready. I thought I was ready. But I realized, even knowing the truth, knowing that God was breaking me out of smallness, and because of that, God lifted the old grace to be okay being small, that he lifted. So even though it's uncomfortable, I get excited. I was excited for about a month. And when God didn't manifest the greatness, the bigness, I was like, God, how long? How long are you going to let me stay being small without the grace to be small? And then God taught me, you see, Sonny, I'm about to teach you a lesson here about my grace. As I shared earlier, there's grace. There's a new grace for each season, right? But what God had taught me was, knowing that isn't good enough. Once God releases you to another level, you know what you have to do? You got to tap into the new grace. You got to learn what that new grace is, and you got to tap into that new grace. Pedometer, right? Like the thing that you wear to see how far you walked. Imagine if you thought that was a clock and you are frustrated. Why isn't this telling the right time? It is not 3:07. And you're frustrated and you're trying to figure it out. The problem is that it's not broken. It's just you're using it for the wrong, right? It's a wrong usage of a product. Now, I'm about to tell you something. Who's been struggling? Who's been going through some difficult time? Inside, outside. I'm about to tell you something. Because a lot of you've been using your struggles in the wrong way. Okay? I'm going to set you free tonight. Okay? Listen. Struggles aren't fair, right, to tell times. Just like pedometer isn't there to tell time. So you struggling doesn't mean, oh, I'm just struggling, just to show you that you're struggling. So struggling is there to show you that old grace has lifted and you need to tap into the new grace. And when you don't know how to tap into the new grace, you're just struggling. You're just struggling and you're just mad at that pedometer, right? Why aren't you telling the right time and you're just struggling and you're miserable and you're tormented? Why am I not experiencing the breakthrough like the others? You see, struggling for some of you has been tormenting you. But as sons and daughters of God, it's a pedometer. I suppose it's showing you that it's time to tap into a new grace. You know, just like Benjamin said last night, he said along the lines of shifting is overrated, right? It's like you're always shifting. If you're like rooted, you don't have to shift. You know, the key is this. Your last season was about shifting as sons and daughters of God. Shift. I gotta submit. Shift. I got to go to prayer. I don't want to, but shift. I got to serve. Shift. I got to love that person. Shift. You're constantly shifting. But shifting is for children. Because children, they don't know how to remain in the truth. You see, with Alethea, I'm always helping her to shift. Alethea, choose fun in your heart. Alethea, choose fun in your heart. You know what I'm teaching? I'm teaching her how to shift. I don't feel... choose fun in your heart. And you know, we started doing, what is that? Superman? The Korean show about the fathers and the babies. What is it called? Yeah, that. There, the comedian Lee Hee-jae, right? He does this to his kids. Every time one of his boys start to like whine, he's like, "Uso!" And then they'll be like, "Eh." They're like, "Eh, uso!" Right? I'm like, that's good. That's like me telling Aletheia, choose fun. And we watched it together. And so now, if Aletheia's like, "Who's up?" Then she's like, "Who's up?" And then she started doing that. Like, I get frustrated sometimes. Yeah, mothers, you know, we get that. Yeah, I'm like, "Oh," right? And Aletheia's like, "Mommy, who's up?" And I'm like, see, children, they need to learn how to shift because they keep shifting back to the lies. But if you're a mature son and daughter of God, you don't shift out of the truth. And so because you don't shift out of the truth, you don't have to shift back to the truth. You just walk in the truth of God. So even when struggles come, you see it as a pedometer. And you see it, and you get excited. Okay, I got this. God, I got this. Where's the new grace? What is the new grace? And you learn to tap into that new grace. Last year, I've seen so many sons and daughters of our house out of disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment, fall. And even walk away from their inheritance. And you know what? That, man, people could call me, you know, "You're a cult," and I would just laugh at their face. You know, they could say anything at me, and I would just, okay, all right. I would just laugh. But to see sons and daughters fall into sin, fall into disappointment, that breaks your heart. Right? And so I would just find myself in the middle of the night just weeping. And so last year, I started every Friday night, all night prayer, just weeping before God for sons and daughters, and just weeping and you know, crying and just crying out for God. And God allowed it. And, you know, God gave me so many promises for the lost sons. And then once 2015 came, I still kept my all-night prayer every Friday night. And I just felt God lifting that grace. And it's like, "God, what are you doing?" And this is what God said, "Sonny, you're in a new season. Mourning, struggling, crying, weeping, shifting is for the last season. It's for the old season. But God, this son, that daughter, they're still out. How could I move on? I don't want to leave anybody behind. Oh, God, I'm still crying. Oh, God, bring them back. Oh, God. Oh, God." I don't know. Just crying, right? And God's like, "Sonny, why are you trying to still live from the old grace? I've given you that grace so that you could stand in the gap. I've heard your cry. I've heard your prayers. I know your heart. You're in a new season. Tap into the new grace." And you know what God said? He said, "Stop mourning for the lost sons, but start rejoicing. Start rejoicing with the sons and daughters that are fruitful, that are inside of the house." And so I started rejoicing. I started writing down. You know, I started to brag. You know, if I felt any kind of disappointment or discouragement, I would just talk to Benjamin. "Okay, Benjamin, let's brag. Let's brag about our sons and daughters. What are we thankful for? Who are we thankful for?" And you know what? Once I started to change my perspective, man, I am the most blessed spiritual mother in the whole wide world. Can I brag a little bit? Is that okay if I brag? You see, right there, there's my son, Daniel. Daniel, go like this. Isn't he handsome? He's single. But he's mighty. My sons and daughters, they're physically good looking. They're spiritually powerful. They don't have to shift back and forth. They walk consistently, faithfully. You know, Daniel had an opportunity, right? At Living Hope, we're still small, right? So we can't, you know, he serves, but, you know, we can't really pay him, right? It's like just, right? But he had an opportunity to pursue full-time ministry, right? And because, you know, like we wanted him to like advance, it's like, we're like, we give you our blessing to pursue it if you feel like God is calling you. I was sad, but you know what? What I wanted was what was best for Daniel. And so we released him to pray. And he prayed and prayed and he came back and says, you know what? I'm a son of this house. I'm going to remain in this house and serve this house. Well, Daniel, what Daniel doesn't know is that after I heard that, I'm like, yay. I went to the other room. And for like next few weeks, every time I sought the face of God, God, thank you so much. Oh, you got to bless my son, God. Bless him for choosing sonship over opportunities. How many sons could really let go of great opportunities for sonship? Not many. And I know, Daniel, God's going to bless you beyond your imagination. Yeah? I'm so proud. I am so proud. I have so many sons, not just sons. I have good-looking, beautiful daughters. Come visit us. You know, we could, you know. Right, Christian? Yeah. See, if you get one of Living Hope sons and daughters, you don't have to worry. You get the real deal. Enough? Too much? I could go on and on and on and on. You know, we took a team to Hong Kong, to Solomon's Porch. Right. And, you know, we had them prophesy with us. Right. They were our ministry team. They interceded and they prophesied. Everyone prophesied. And at one of our breakfasts, one of the leaders were like, so are they your associate pastors? No. Oh, are they one of your active leaders? One of them is. She's one of our worship leader. But the rest are just, you know, team members. They're just regular sons and daughters of our church. And they're like, what? And they could prophesy? Oh my goodness, they're so powerful, right? And I was like, mine, my son, my daughter. I could go on and on and on. Even Christian and Aaron. I'm so proud. We're kind of crazy. Our lineage is kind of crazy. I mean, who prophesies, right? Ex nihilo prophecies. And then who actually believes? I mean, like, Christian actually believed and he actually prayed. Ex nihilo prayer. Who does that? And then Aaron, she actually really believes, and even though she's about to die of dehydration and whatever that was, you know, she wouldn't take any medication, even though doctor said, you're not pregnant. Here's the pregnancy test. Take the medicine. Who actually believes the word over the evidence, physical evidence? Christian, they're crazy. They think I'm gangsters. They're more gangsters, right? I could go on and on and on. And as I tapped into the new grace, you hear me? Instead of crying about the lost sons, instead of crying about the smallness, when is the breakthrough coming? God, I'm so tired. Instead of staying there. Physical realm, nothing has changed. Only thing is my perspective, and I tap into the new grace, and I could go on and on and on and on on about sons and daughters, mighty, valiant warriors. All my sons and daughters are valiant warriors with undivided loyalty. Hmm? Man, I am the most richest person in the whole wide world. Don't you agree? Hmm? You know what God taught me in this new grace? That whatever you're intimate with, you beget. If you are intimate with toxic thoughts, oh, it's never going to happen. Oh, I'm not, accepted here. Oh, all these toxic thoughts, it begets more. And you are surrounded with physical evidences of your toxic thoughts. But if you are intimate with healthy thoughts, with truth, guess what? You beget. And you beget. And you beget. Hmm? No thought in your mind should be undetected. You're not helpless. You're not hopeless. Life doesn't just happen to you, but you have the authority of Jesus Christ. You get to choose what thoughts you allow in your mind. You hear me? Every thought that comes into your brain should be detected, and you should be able to say, denied access, denied access. Welcome, welcome. You should be able to know what to receive and what to deny. Hmm? You know what keeps you from tapping into the glorious riches of God that strengthens you in your inner being? From my experience, one of the major obstacles is disappointment. I used to hate divorce because I'm a product. I'm a child of divorced, right? And I know the pain. And every time I hear, people getting divorced or about to get, I'm like, oh, there's this like anger that comes out of me, right? I'm like, no, God hates divorce, right? I used to be like that. You know what I hate in this season? I hate disappointments because I've seen too many sons and daughters walk away from their inheritance because of disappointment. You see, disappointment, it's so small. It's so sly. You think, we all get disappointed, right? Aw. You expect something and it doesn't happen and you think it's not a big deal because we all get disappointed. But if you don't deal with the disappointments, right? It's very demonic. Very demonic. You must guard your heart from disappointments. Sons and daughters of God, you gotta guard your heart from disappointments. You see, disappointments will blind you from the blessings and the favor of God. Let me give you a definition of disappointment, okay? It's the feeling of dissatisfaction that follow the failure of expectation or hopes to manifest. Basically, you know what disappointment is? Disappointment is a sense of loss for something you never had. You never had it. But you hoped, you expected, and when it didn't happen in your time, right, you feel the sense of loss. You know, Benjamin and Pastor Daniels, they took a, short trip to San Francisco like a few months ago. And they were talking and they were, talking about what's in their hearts. And Benjamin's like, Pastor Daniel's like, my heart is like crying out for revival, the fire of God. I need more of God. I want the fire. He was just going on and on, and feeling, I'm pretty sure he felt kind of good, because, his desire is for the fire and the revival of God, right? And Pastor Daniel was just listening. And then he's like, something isn't right. He's like, what? I'm hungry for revival. What's wrong with that? Pastor Daniel's like, I don't know. In my spirit, I just sense like what you're sharing, like something isn't right. And Benjamin was like frustrated. Pastor Daniels, what are you talking about? Don't you want the revival fire? Like I, and he was just sharing. And then Pastor Daniels just closed his eyes. And then he said, spirit of religion. And Benjamin was like, what? What? Benjamin, I sense disappointment. Disappointment always comes from spirit of religion. And then Benjamin, like, first he was going to defend himself, right? But, and then he stopped. And then Pastor Daniel said, Benjamin, when I see you and Sunny and Living Hope, I've never seen with my eyes the power of God. You've seen blind open, blind see, deaf hear. I mean, I've seen so many miracles. You have church members that were healed of cancer and all. You already walk in the spirit of revival. But you're disappointed. Don't you? Aren't you? And he thought, Benjamin thought, actually, yeah. Because we'll be contending, right? For the healings and the power of God to be released. And, you know, people would get healed of, you know, the blind will see. But then we walk away disappointed, but you didn't slay everybody in the spirit, God. You know, we contend for salvation and people get saved and we're like, but you didn't save that one that we've been praying for. Always walking away with that little bit of disappointment. Disappointment. And when Benjamin came home and shared that with me, I realized that I lived with disappointment all my life. You see, I've been disappointed by my mom, by my father, by everybody. Because I'm the type of person who's really for, like, loyalty. I will, if I know you and I love you and accept you, I will die for you. I just preached about undivided loyalty. And I told our people, often I daydream about, like, saving one of our church members, and I die for them. Like, we had a recent trip with one of our missions team leader, and on the plane, I'm like daydreaming about, like, you know, we're rescuing the victims of, you know, sex trafficking, and she, my leader is in danger. I was like, no, I go in front of them. Oh, I die. I said, Sharon, go back. Tell our people that I love them. I'm like that. I live and die for loyalty. But when I don't sense that same loyalty coming back, I'm disappointed. Like, I would die for you. I'm ready to die for you. But you don't want to come and pray with me? I'm ready to die for you. But you don't want to do the overhead once a month? What the? Disappointed. I'm ready to die for you. And I realized that I'm always disappointed by people, by God, by my husband. Yeah. Disappointment. It disconnects you from the glorious riches that can strengthen you. It leads to unbelief and doubt. Because disappointment, when you live with disappointment, guess what? You are more consumed with what you are disappointed with rather than imagining the immeasurable power, ability, omnipotence of God. It cuts you off, and your inner being gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And you are not able to tap into the new grace that God has for you for that season. Listen, a lot of you, including me, when we experience disappointment, the first question we ask is, why? Why? Did I do something wrong? Did I sin? Oh, what can I do? Why, God? Why? And you know, God never gives you the answer to your why. Because you know why? Because that's a wrong question. When you are disappointed, listen, look at me. I'm giving you a commandment. When you get disappointed, from now on, never ask why. Got it? Nod. Got it? Christian, keep them accountable. But the question that you should ask when you're disappointed is, God, what now? What shall I do now? What now? And as God answers that question, guess what? You are able to tap into the glorious riches. You know what I realized? I mean, I've shared this everywhere I go, that my life is not my own, that my life is prophetic. And so when you know this, guess what? Even if I go through the most painful experience, I could rejoice. Not because I like pain. I hate pain. But you know why? Because I get to be the example for God's people. That when I am in the most painful experience, I get to be, watch me, guys. Watch me. Watch how I still love Jesus. Watch how I still tap into glorious riches of God. Watch how strong I am in my inner being. Watch how I am not shaken. Watch. I get to be that example for people to follow. And for that, man, that's good enough. That's good enough. Watch me. Watch me. And you get to be that. When you allow disappointment to fester in your soul, it will lead to discouragement, depression, and disillusionment. Okay? UCLA psychologist named James Coleman, this is what he said. Shipwreck victims who lose hope may die after a few days, even though physiologically they could have survived many more days longer. Because, he says, because they're disappointed, and that disappointment leads to despair. Same thing. Same thing for all of us. When we experience disappointment, you know, maybe your community group went to watch a movie and they forgot to call you. Oh, they didn't want me there. It's not that they have forgotten about you. Maybe, who knows what happened, right? Maybe they thought they called you. Maybe they asked this person to call and that person thought they called you. Who knows what happened? But so many of us, we get, you know, a lot of people are getting married at New Philly. A lot of singles. I know that disappointment. When is my time? Will I ever find the right one? Been there. Done that. Yeah. Disappointment. And once you allow that disappointment to enter and you fester, you allow that to fester inside of your soul, the enemy jumps right on it. And it cuts you off from being able to tap into the glorious riches. When I thought about disappointment, I think of King Saul. He wasn't able to finish well. Why? Because of disappointment. He was disappointed that people praised David more than him. He was disappointed that Samuel the prophet didn't come on time. He was disappointed that people were getting anxious and they were scattering. The disappointment got him to lose faith of who God is and who he was. Disappointment keeps you from finishing well. Disappointment keeps you from being able to tap into the grace for that season. Now, I'm going to end with this, because Benjamin really butchered my marathon story, right? I got to tell the truth. Well, the spirit behind what he said is true, right? But the details were not. So as you all heard, I ran my first half marathon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Finished it. Now, did I do it well? I almost died, right? When you run a half marathon, you can't just run. You can't just sign up and, okay, let's do this. You gotta train for it, right? And you don't just train haphazardly. You gotta run, you know, 1 mile, and then next week you gotta add another mile, you know? And so, you know, we were trained, right? Every week we added a mile, until we trained up to 11 miles, right? And then we went back. And then we were ready to run that 13.1 miles, right? And what happened was that I just came back from Hong Kong, and so I was jet lagged. See, because I ran 11 miles, I had no problem. Justin and I, we did this hike, and we ran the hike that had like big hills, right? And we did 10 miles like in 2 hours. So I'm thinking, 13 miles, 13.1, no problem. I got this. And then I started running, but I realized that jet lag thing, it's not a joke. I'm like, you know, I was scared. I was excited. My first half marathon, right? But I, like, all week, like, I didn't sleep, right? And I tried to, like, I lived on, like, 1 or 2 hours a day. And I'm trying, I'm like, okay, I got this. And I, you know, first mile, right, 10 minutes, which is good because my normal is 12 to 13 minutes a mile, right? Even though I look good, I'm still in mid-40s, right? So 12 and 13 minutes a mile is still good, right? So I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm middle-aged. That's good enough. I'm not, you know, I'm not in 20s, right? Who could run 10, 8, 9, 10 minutes a mile. So I'm like, I got this. And, you know, they say you run better at, you know, in races because you get all excited. So I'm thinking, I'm going to do this better, right? And first mile, 10 minutes. I'm thinking, wow, 10 minutes a mile? That's good, right? I'm all excited. And then second mile, 11 minutes. Oh, that's still good enough. That's still better than my normal, right? And then third mile, 12 minutes. That's still my normal. That's still good, right? There's grace for the beginning of the race. And I was able to tap into that grace. I got this. But the middle, I had to find a new grace for the middle of the race. Because 4, 5, 6, that's like 13.37, 13.59. I'm like, oh, shoot, this is like, okay, God, this is hard. I'm hurting. And then I was feeling nauseous, right? I'm like, oh, no, am I pregnant? I can't be pregnant. Why am I feeling like I'm pregnant? Like, I feel like throwing up. But I'm like, oh, I got this, right? By ninth mile, I thought I was going to die. And I'm like, Chung, I have to throw up. Get me a bag. Find me something. Get me a bag. And I threw up everything. And I didn't eat anything. It was all water, right? Like 2 gallons of stuff. I didn't even know my stomach could hold, right? I'm like, oh. I'm like, where's the grace? God, where's the grace? There was a grace, but I didn't know how to tap into it because I was so conscious of pain. And then 10 point something, I threw up again. And I thought, I can't do it. There's no way I could finish this because it hurt to move. It hurt to breathe. And I thought, God, I don't want to go back and tell them I didn't finish it. You got to let me finish it, God. But I felt like I was going to die. I didn't know what to do. My heart, I wanted to run as fast as I can, but my physical body would not move. And I thought, God, what do I do? When you are so conscious of pain, you can't see the finish line. You see, by 11th and 12th mile, I was miserable. And I was, why am I doing this? Who made me sign up for this? Mickey. It's all his fault. And I was mad and angry and hurting. But I had to finish it, right? And by all, like 12 points, you know, almost 13 miles, I was like, God. And I could just see myself being wheeled out. And I've seen people getting wheeled out. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be one of them. If the whole world knows I'm running my first marathon and they're going to find out that I didn't get to fit. How embarrassing that would be, right? Oh, God. You know what? That last mile was the hardest. Because I felt pain. I felt nauseous. I was hopeless. I was helpless. But in reality, I was closer to the finish line than the beginning of the race where I felt great. But so many of sons and daughters of God, in their last mile, they give up. You're so close. You are so close to your finish line where you get to eat the fruit of your labor. But then we're so conscious of pain and helplessness and hopelessness that we give up. We just sit and we wait for someone to wheel us out. I don't care what people think. It's better than dying, right? And so many spiritual sons and daughters of God don't finish the race and not eat the fruit. Every season is a race. I want you to see every season of your life as a race. You start and you finish. And every part of that race, God has a grace. Beginning, the race grace, endurance, right? In the middle, the grace to finish. And at the end, the grace to eat the fruit. But so many of us, we finish, but we don't eat. New Philly. Somebody come. Susie, come. New Philly, you know how to run the race. You know how to be a mighty army of God. You know how to shift. If Pastor Christian sends you an email, even though you don't feel it, you know how to shift and you know how to obey. You know how to submit. But how many of you actually eat the fruit of your season? You go hungry into the new season because you didn't eat. Or you go into the new season and instead of eating the fruit of the next season, you're eating from the old season. You see, when you're in a new level, eating the old level season grace doesn't satisfy. You see, what worked in the last season doesn't work in the new season. You gotta tap into the new grace for that new season. I feel like in the spirit, God is saying, stop crying. Stop crying about what you lost. Stop crying that I lifted the old season grace. But change your perspective and tap into the new grace that I've given you and you could eat the fruit now. I want you to give God permission to break every old season mindset off of you right now. Give God the full permission tonight to break off disappointment from you tonight. Disappointment is an old season mindset. Everybody repeat after me. I got this. I got grace for this. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you feel. You got this. Because in every season, God has grace for you. Tonight, God wants to release Deuteronomy chapter 28 blessings upon you. I want you to stand up. I want you to lift your hands. And as I read these blessings, I want you to receive it. But in order for you to receive this blessing, you gotta let go of disappointments. Let go of disappointments from your past. Let go of rejection. Let go of what you have hoped for in the last season that you did not see. Let go. In this season, this is what God is saying to you, live New Philly sons and daughters. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The enemies will be defeated before you. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb. The Lord will open the heavens and the storehouses of His bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of your hand. Come on, receive it and release disappointments. You will never be able to tap into the new season grace if you don't let go, if you don't release. You see, releasing that disappointment, you don't need a process. You hear me? You don't need days and weeks of process. You could do it right now by tapping into the new grace that God has for you. Some of you, your old season has been a desert, and you're tired of being in that desert. But the word of God tonight to you is that your desert will bloom with fruitfulness. Do not be weary. Do not despise your desert of old season. Because in this new season, your desert will bloom flowers and fruit. And because of the last season desert experience, as your desert blooms, more glory of God will be revealed in and through your desert. Some of you in the old season, you've been surrounded by walls and closed doors and mountains that was so hard to break through. You tried and tried and tried, but you did not know how to break through. And you are tired of fighting for your breakthrough. Those of you tonight, God says that I am releasing breaker anointing upon you tonight. The breaker will go before you and make a way. I just sense some of you in the old season. You're so tired. God, I'm tired. Why do I always have to live in the realm of impossibility? Why can't it be easy like some of my brothers and sisters? Why does it have to be so hard for me all the time? I'm tired of living in this realm of impossibility. God, take me into the realm of possibility. Make it easier, God. And this is the word for you tonight. You see, God is saying, well, you don't understand, without faith, it is impossible to please me. Your life is supposed to be pleasing in my sight. Do not despise the realm of impossibility. For God is saying to you tonight that I've given you supernatural gift of faith. By the authority that God has given me in Jesus' name, I break off every old season mindset off of you tonight. I break every disappointment off of you. I pull it out of your heart. I pull it out of your mind. No more. No more. No more. Release. Release every disappointment. Disappointment you felt from God, release it tonight. Disappointment you felt from your pastors, release it tonight. You are entering into a new season grace tonight where you are not bound by discouragements and disappointments. Where you walk in the authority of Christ Jesus.